content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 27th through Sunday, February 2nd, 2025. The commentary for January was written by Jackie Fulop, who has been in education for the past 30 years and is a Montessori elementary teacher. Jackie and her husband Tim are the parents of four grown children. They worship at Christ Church in Danville, Virginia, where Tim serves as priest in charge. The commentary for Monday, January 27th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 34. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." This passage is one of my favorites. The two stories of healings in this passage from Mark both deal with the love of daughters. One daughter, 12 years old, is deeply loved and cared for by her father. The other, a woman, a daughter who has been ostracized by her community for as many years because of her condition. Despite how differently they are valued, both are precious to Jesus. Unlike Jairus, the father of the young girl, the woman can only approach Jesus secretly. She sneaks a touch of Jesus' cloak, believing that would be enough to heal her, and it is. After Jesus repeatedly asks who has touched him, the woman comes forward, trembling with fear, and confesses. Jesus, moved by her faith and her story, tells this daughter that she is healed and whole. And just as he lovingly took Jairus' daughter by the hand and raised her to life, I see Jesus tenderly raising the woman by her hand as he sends her in peace, her life restored. And now I'm going to read from this full passage of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked at all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Tabitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. And the moving forward statement for this Monday, January 27th, is send a note of support and love to a woman in your life. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, January 28th, the day on which we celebrate Thomas Aquinas. It begins with a passage from Mark, chapter 6, verse 3b, "And they took offense at him." Here's the commentary. What a sad situation this is for the people of Nazareth. Jesus returns to his home synagogue and astounds the people with his teaching. But their response is based on what they remember, wondering, how can this be? And it is this doubt that causes them to stumble, or as Mark tells us, they took offense. The Greek word for this, skandalon, from which we get scandal, means a striking against, as if they encountered a block of some kind and tripped over it. The stumbling block is their own thinking. What makes this even sadder is that because of their stubborn refusal to believe, Jesus isn't able to do much of anything there, and he leaves. Thomas Aquinas, whom we remember today, said, "To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible." The people of Nazareth were trying to understand and explain what they saw and heard of Jesus, when what they needed was faith. Sometimes my own need to understand trips me up too, and I fall sprawling. Lord, help me with my unbelief. And now I'm going to read Mark 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and were cured. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, January 28th, When have you fallen short of God's call because of doubt or disbelief? The commentary for Wednesday, January 29th, begins with a passage from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 19b to 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Almost 50 years ago, I chose this verse for my confirmation. I marvel now at the audacity and wonder of my childhood faith. For most of my life, I tried to live by faith in the Son of God, believing that it was my faith that mattered. That faith was something I did. This took quite a bit of mental and spiritual gymnastics at times, as I struggled to make sense of some of life's events and circumstances. But now I'm learning to live by the faith of the Son of God. One tiny word makes all the difference. It's not my faith, but Jesus's that matters in my life. Thankfully, it's not about me. My job is to stay connected to Jesus. He is not only the source, but also the conductor of my faith. I am simply the recipient. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 13 through 29. And the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not acting consistently with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you thought a Jew live, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And we have come to believe in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by works of the law. But if in our effort to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And a quick note about this particular reading. This was from the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. It was not from the Gospel of Mark, as I had indicated. The moving forward question for this Wednesday, January 29th, is, does your faith sometimes require spiritual gymnastics? What do you think this verse is saying to you? The commentary for Thursday, January 30th, begins with a passage from Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. If you've been reading these devotional messages all month and listening to them on this program, you may have noticed that I like to use exclamation points, maybe a little too much. In some translations, this verse ends with the use of an exclamation point. That caught my attention, especially because there aren't that many exclamation points in the Bible. The Hebrew word that has been translated here as mercy is chesed. There is no English equivalent, so chesed is also translated as loving kindness, steadfast love, compassion, or goodness. Chesed is an attribute or quality God possesses. It is part of God's very nature. God is love, and everything God does flows from love. First, God chose a people to love and then extended that fullness of love to the entire world through God's own Son, Jesus. God's love is so wide and long and deep and high that we can't even name it or truly understand it, but we can experience it, and that's something to get excited about. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 118, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And the moving forward question for this day is, to what other passages would you add an exclamation point? The commentary for Friday, January 31st, the last day of the month, begins with a passage from Psalm 40, verse 9b. I love to do your will, O my God. Your law is deep in my heart. I've been privileged to see Judy Chicago's famous work of art, The Dinner Party, which honors 1,038 women of history. Marcella, whom we remember today, is commemorated in the work with an exquisitely detailed place setting that features many symbols of the Christian faith, indicating the central role she played in the development of the church and Christian monasteries. It is today that we commemorate Marcella of Rome. Marcella was a noble woman of the Roman Empire. She was married at a young age and widowed less than a year later. Instead of remarrying, as was the custom, she devoted the rest of her life to God and studying the Bible. She turned her palace into a refuge for other Christian noblewomen wishing to join her, living strictly as did ascetic monks. Marcella's piety and the reputation of her refuge led to the formation of other informal convents in Rome, beginning the Roman monastic movement for which she is credited as founder and given sainthood. I am humbled and inspired to learn of Marcella's life of faith. She loved God, and her delight helped to change the world. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. When the evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. And the moving forward question for this Friday, January 31st, what can we learn from the life of Marcella of Rome? The commentary for Saturday, February 1st, begins with a passage from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 28. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. It's hard to deal with the discomfort of difference because we are loving people who don't want to do or say the wrong thing. We don't want to hurt or offend. That's exactly why we describe the openness and generosity of spirit of our children by saying things like, they don't see the difference. They just see people. But the wonderful thing is that children do see difference. They see all of it, and they are honest about it. These beautiful and God-given differences are the vast array of us, making up the image of God. And in the purity of their loving, like God, most children would never consider using those differences to make comparative determinations of a person's innate worth. Children see human beings as equal, not as the same. That is beautiful regard I hear in this verse. It's the beautiful regard of God's love. It's the beautiful regard that we are all called to have for one another with the help of the Holy Spirit. And now I'm going to read from the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, February 1st, how can we have eyes like children and see all human beings as equal? And now as we near the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, February 2nd, the day on which we celebrate and commemorate the presentation of Jesus in the temple. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 29 through 31. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Simeon, in his lifelong search for consolation for his occupied nation and his oppressed people, finds it in the sight of the fully God, fully human infant Jesus. When it seems like all we feel is the trauma and all we experience is trouble, we can look to Simeon as a reminder to see and trust in the God we know as Emmanuel, the divine, with us and in us. And sometimes in looking with Simeon at the infant Jesus, I too can find peace in the paradoxical union of vulnerability and almighty power that is God in the flesh, experiencing everything from the cradle to the cross. When I watch the news or hear of a friend's new cancer diagnosis, the crisis in me offers me the courage to love in a world that says it's too risky and to rest in a society that regards overworking to be a virtue. Jesus modeled and offers a power and peace that is felt alongside pain and fear in the knowledge that neither is stronger than divine love. And now I'm going to read the passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after the marriage. Then, as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they turned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, how does seeing Jesus as both fully God and fully human shape your prayer life? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Join me again for a new program of readings next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.